Thanksgiving holiday, we still can take our time to observe the Sabbath and worship God together. Tonight, I would like to use the topic, take it to heart or not, for our mutual encouragement. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Here mentioned, we should take this to heart, to take one day everyone should face death. We should take this issue in our heart. Chapter 7 verse 21. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. And verse 21 mentioned, do not pay attention to every word people say. It's not necessary. Take every word in our heart. Two verses instruct us two things. One thing, we need to take it to our heart. The other thing is we don't need to take it all into our heart. First, I would like to explain why don't we take every word into our heart. It means we need to distinguish the word, the words. The mouth is in people's face, so people has the freedom to speak out what he want to speak, but we are the receiver. We can decide it. Do we want to take it into our heart or not? It means we need to pay attention. We need to discern. We need to judge. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. Two or three prophets should speak, and the other should wait carefully what is said. First Corinthians chapter 14 talk about the order in the church. In Paul's time, when they got together, many times they will share their revelation or share their understanding about the teachings of God. So Paul mentioned everyone can stood up and share your reflection or your understanding. So verse 29 say, two or three people can deliver the message of God. And the other should wait carefully what is said. It means to judge what are they talking about. So even when people say, I deliver the message of God, even the people say, I will share my understanding about the words of God, about the Bible. Even in this kind of situation, we still need to judge. It's not necessary. We accept all the words. And in some situation, we should pay attention when we judge what other people say. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their father treated the false prophets. Here Jesus gives us a warning. He say, woe to you when all men speak well of you. And Jesus also mentioned their forefathers and the false prophets. Jesus has mentioned before the end time, there are many false prophets will come out and preached. Let's look back the relationship between the false prophet and their forefather. Let's see one example. First King chapter 22, verse 4. Here mentioned the North Kingdom, the king is Ahab, and the South Kingdom, the king is Jehoshaphat. Verse 4. So Ahab asked Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight against Ramoth Gilead? King Ahab invited King Jehoshaphat, let's go together to fight with my enemy. And what did Jehoshaphat reply this invitation? Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. The king of Jehoshaphat, he replied friendly to the king Ahab. Verse 5, but Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first, seek the counsel of the Lord. Because King Jehoshaphat, he is a king, fear God. So before they went out to fight, he made a suggestion. We should counsel the prophet first. Verse 6, so the king of Israel brought together the prophets about 400 men and asked them, should I go to war against Ramoth Gilead or should I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hands. So here all the prophets, they say the good words to the king Ahab. Yes, go ahead and you will win the battle. Verse 7, but Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of. So from verse 7, we know the 400 prophets who King Ahab asked, they are not the prophets of God, of true God. So they are false prophets. For this reason, King Jehoshaphat, he said, we should take the counsel from the prophet of Lord. Verse 8, the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord. But I hate him because he never prophesies among good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imla. The king should not say that, Jehoshaphat replied. Actually, King Ahab, he knew who is the prophet of God, but he purposely didn't want to ask this true prophet. King Ahab, he only want to hear the good word, hear the good words. So what's the result? Verse 11. Now that the Kaya, one of the Canaanites, had met Ion Ons, and he declared, this is what the Lord says. With this you will gore the enemies until they are destroyed. 12. All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. So all the false prophets, they say the good words. They say you will win the battle, so you can go ahead to attack your enemies. Verse 34. Within the battle, verse 34, but someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I have been wounded. 35. All day long, the battle raged, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran onto the floor of the chariot, and that evening he died. So this is the result. King Ahab, he died in the battlefield. So everyone said good words to him, just like Jesus say, woe to you, when everyone say good to you. In our daily life, we need to humble ourselves to take the advice from others, but we should judge the words. How could we judge the words? Bible is our standard. Our conscience is one of the standard. Our prayer also can serve the function to judge people's words. Let's also turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. First Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with trembling and lutes. 7. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. Verse 8. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with 10,000, he thought, but me with only 1,000. What more can he get but the kingdom? Verse 9. And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. When they came back, they win the battle. And because one of the major reasons is that David killed Goliath. So the women, they are praising and they give the 10,000 to David. David, he is a young man. He was a young man. He did not have many social experience. So he did not say anything. He just received the praising from the country, from the people, from the women. And the result is King Saul, he didn't feel comfortable. He didn't, he was not happy. So he angry to David. So this is also an example. We should judge the words. We should judge the situation. If that time, if that moment, David, if he knew to humble himself, give the credit to King Saul, he might not encounter so many troubles in the future. Let's also turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. Verse 15, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. We know Book of Proverbs, Proverbs is one of the book of wisdom. So here mentioned what is the wisdom. He say a prudent man gives thought to his steps. How could we give thought to our steps? The first sentence say a simple man believes anything. So it means we are not a person believe anything. It's not necessary all the words we take in take it to our heart. For example, in the Genesis chapter 3, we know the serpent tried to deceive Eve. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. The serpent say, "You will not surely die." The serpent say to the woman. Actually, God told Adam, when you eat the fruit of good and evil, you should die. But here the serpent say, you will not surely die. Verse 5, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. If he heard this, and he believed, because he believes, so the next steps, he took the fruit, and she took the fruit, and she ate it, and she also gave to Adam. Here, actually, the serpent twist the words. However, Eve, he take it into her heart. He say, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But the serpent did not mention what God said, you should die. So this is an example. It's not necessary all the words is true. It's not necessary all the words will give us the benefit. It's not necessary all the words will help us. Let's also turn to the other example, Joshua chapter 9. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 9. Book of Joshua chapter 9 verse 3. Joshua chapter 9 verse 3. Verse 3. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, verse 4. They restored to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins cracked and mended. 5. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. 6. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at the Gilgal and said to him and the men of the Israel, we have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us. So here the people in Gibeon, they used the tricky way to cheat Joshua and the elders of the Israel. They used the words to say, we came from far away. We heard the events among you and Jericho. So we came to make a treaty with, we make a peace with you. And during the conversation, Joshua and the elders of the Israel, they did not judge. They did not pray to God. On the outwardly, yes, from their clothes, from their sandal, from their food, yes, it seems they came from far away. But they have God with them. So even they could not judge the words they say is true or not. But they can pray to God, ask God to show them right or wrong. The same chapter, verse 14. verse 14, the men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the law. They were easy to believe what the Gibeons told them. Actually, they can ask God, but here they did not ask God. 15. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. So they fell into the trap of the Gibeons. Why we don't need take all the words into our heart? Why? The other thing is when we face the the criticize, we also need to judge, and it's not necessary. We take it into our heart. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul said, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the law who judges me. Here Paul mentioned only Lord Jesus, he judges us. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and will expose the motives of man's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. In the same token, everyone has eyes and everyone has mouths. Everyone has mind to judge. So sometimes we might face the wrong criticize. If we take the words into our heart, we might feel uneasy, we might anger. Even we want to fight with that person, but it's not necessary. It's not glorify God. It's not benefit for ourselves. But how could we still have peace in our mind if we understand what the author of Ecclesiastes try to teach us about the wisdom? We don't need to take every word into our heart. At the beginning, King Saul, actually he had some good point. One of the good points is he did not take the criticize into his heart. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. First Samuel chapter 10, verse 26. Chapter 10, verse 26. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. 27, but some troublemakers said, how can this Pharaoh save us? They despised him and brought him no gifts, but Saul kept silent. This is the beginning. Saul became a king. God touched some strong men to follow him. But the verse 27 say, some troublemakers. Why does he say they are troublemakers? They despise the new king. They discourage the new king. If Saul took the words into his heart, that would discourage himself. Because they say, how can this Pharaoh save us? Even so, he is taller than others, one head. But if even some people criticize him, could this Pharaoh save us? They have question mark. But actually, Saul, he won a battle. In the same chapter, chapter 11. Let's turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 12. Verse 12. The people then said to Samuel, who was it that asked, shall Saul reign over us? Bring this man to us, and we will put them to death. So the people surround Saul. When they won the battle, they try to punish those person who despised Saul. Verse 13, but Saul said, no one should be put to death today, for this day the Lord has rescued Israel. So in this moment, Saul, he was good, because he know they can won the battle. It's because of the Lord. So even some people has despised him, but he did not take this in his heart. So he has a peace heart, because there is peace in his heart. So he can use the peace manner to treat these people. So this is wonderful. There is no enemies. So first, we don't need to take all the words into our heart. But we need to have humble heart. If the words is true, if the words is a benefit for us, we should put into our heart. But some of the words, we don't need to take it into our heart. Let's turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. It is better to go to house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. So here, we need to take death, this issue, into our heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. Verse 8, no man has power over the wind to contend it. So no one has power over the day of his death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so weakness will not release those who practice it. This verse tells us there is no accept what everyone should go through, the physical death. Nobody is except. Everyone should face the physical death. It also means everyone should face judgment. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Everyone should face judgment. For this reason, we need to put death to our heart. Remind us, one day we should face judgment. When we face the judgment, and our destiny will be decided. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. For a Christian, we believe heaven and hell is true. It's real. If Jesus is real, was real, then the hell and the heaven is real. If this Bible was real, true, and heaven and hell would be real. For a Christian, we believe Jesus is true. A Christian, we believe Bible is true. So in John chapter 4, chapter 14, Lord Jesus tried to comfort his disciples before Jesus was crucified. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Gospel John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. How did Jesus comfort the disciples? The first issue Jesus promised them. In the future, there is a place. That is the heavenly kingdom. Jesus said, I prepare it, and I will come back, and I will bring you into that place. This is what Jesus said. So Jesus is true. So the heavenly kingdom is true. And Paul has mentioned his spiritual experience. Even physical eyes cannot see the hell, the heaven. But God can use the special way for some people to experience the heaven. Paul is one of the people has experienced the heaven. So Paul explained it. It's so wonderful, beyond my explanation. So he said, I would rather depart from this world to be with Jesus forever. He preferred to depart from this world because he has this special experience. This recorded in the Bible, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 24. So we believe Bible, so we can believe the heaven is true. Let's also turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus mentioned what we should be afraid. We should be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus used the term hell. So hell is true, it's real. Even Jesus used the watery issue to help us to understand how awful in the hell. Mark chapter 9. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. And if anyone calls one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. Here, Jesus gave a warning. We should not cause others to sin. 43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life meant then with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. So we need to put our effort to go into the heaven, not hell. So even we can cut one head off, and then we can get into the heaven. It's better than we have two hands, but we should go into the hell. Why is the hell is so terrible? Here say, where the fire never goes out. The fire never goes out. Verse 45, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. 47, and if your eyes causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. 48, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So Lord Jesus even used the material issue to explain the hell, to help us understand. In verse 48 say, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So it means it's a very, very terrible place. We should not go there. for this reason, the author of Ecclesiastes say we should put this issue, death, into our heart. So we remind ourselves frequently. We should put our effort, walk in the right way. We should, when we face the judgment, Jesus said, go up, not go down. So this two verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 21. Verse 21 will help us have kinds of freedom. If we can come out from the people's words, that is kinds of freedom. There are so many speech, so many words in our life. If we know how to judge, if we know how to distinguish, and we take the good words into our heart, and we reject the nonsense, the no use words out of our heart, and that is kind of freedom. If we take death into our heart, we remind ourselves one day we should face that very, the most important appointment, the final judgment, and we will distinguish what is the true value, what is true meaning. And I believe we can have a better life if we, by God's grace, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we understand these two verses. I believe we will have a better life. And I also believe God will help us to understand and practice these two verses in our daily life. They sing him 158. Let's sing first and last verse.